prepared for People's Rally and testing evaluation. All should be scurrying about. Our guests are due any time. Cleaning up everything. Last minute inspections. Public Service Union. Information that was later used against individuals and groups. According to the UPI correspondent, McDaniels, he was trusted by the Indians at Wounded Knee. They had implicit trust in him and would talk to him. Clarence McDaniels of the UPI, a black reporter. But all the information, according to the memo, that he obtained was turned over to the FBI to be used against the Indians at Wounded Knee. The memo stated that McDaniels was unaware his materials were being furnished to the FBI. It has been brought to light that this is common practice of CBS, ABC, and NBC. This particular case had to do with KIXI, which was a network affiliate of CBS. Information he had obtained in trust has now been used against the American natives to incriminate them and to frame them. General manager of KIXI, Gil Johnson, said he, the station, and Clarence McDaniels had no knowledge of the alleged accusations that came out of the government spying. It was done by UPI, unbeknownst even to the station, though they were affiliated with UPI. The basic essence of it is that the FBI is now using all methods that they want to use, devious as hell itself, unaware on the part of the reporters what they're doing, in total complicity between the employers, the FBI, the UPI, the NBC, ABC, CBS. It seems that we don't even need to go through the farce democracy anymore. KIXI was a Seattle station. The FBI was able to get all the reports of this reporter. The startling revelation was announced even on Voice of America. The final declaration of the historic United Nations Special Session on Disarmament calls for speedy achievement of Strategic Arm Limitation Talks number 2 and has declared the need for a World Disarmament Conference this year because of the grave dangers of nuclear war. Though the final document from the conference was not as strong as non-aligned and socialist nations had hoped for, it does set guidelines for the reduction of nuclear and conventional weapons, as well as for nuclear proliferation, which means nuclear spreading of the weapons. It also calls for cuts in military budgets to aid domestic social programs and economic development of the developing third world nations. Peking announced from its news agency, China News Agency, Hsinhua, H-S-I-N-H-U-A, that it was cutting off all aid to the Socialist Republic of Vietnam. The announcement by the official news China agency said all Chinese engineers, technicians, and other aid personnel were being immediately recalled to China and that work on all aid projects had been stopped. The Socialist Republic of Vietnam reported today that the 8th SRV Peking meeting in Hanoi over the question of ethnic Chinese residents of Vietnam had failed because the Peking elements had presented a list of them of Peking working groups for the reception of victimized Chinese immigrants from Vietnam. The SRV refused to accept the list because there are no victimized Chinese in Vietnam. It is sad to see this continuing tension between socialist nations. China has now apparently opened herself to more assistance to third world nations, which would be consistent at least with that part of her doctrine of three worlds. But her and her sister nation, Socialist Republic of Vietnam, North and South reunified, are in great tension. According to Hanoi Radio, up to 800,000 people have been killed in Kampuchea, Cambodia, in the first year of the present regime. That was the figure reported by the Vietnam Radio and Courier Special Correspondent Vu Can, V-U, capital C-A-N. More deaths than the total for the five-year war for Cambodian national liberation. There are now more than 150,000 refugees from Cambodia in the People's Republic of Vietnam. This is another one of those kind of communist nations that have gone to extreme nationalism, apparently, Cambodia has, and allowed a power elite. They have many, many prejudices against other peoples. Fears, usually prejudice is based on fear, and it has brought about this dreadful condition. Other reporters say that this figure is highly exaggerated, so it depends upon whom you are reading. And apparently, at this stage of evolution, most nations in their reporting have access to grind and will show their biases. More than 1,000 people, Native Americans and others, who began the longest walk at Alcatraz Island, San Francisco Bay, on February 11th, have been harassed all across the nation. When they arrived in Washington on the weekend last to demand of the President and Congress that treaties between Native Americans and the USA be honored, as you know, they've all been broken by an act of Congress. Although messages of support have come from Tokyo, the Red Army, Hamburg, Berlin, Frankfurt, Australia, Ethiopia, Southwest Africa, France, England, Czechoslovakia, and the USSR, there was only a bare 200 left after the long march. There have been injuries, and two have been shot en route in this long walk that the Indians, the Native Americans, had taken while no one is listening, apparently, in U.S. these days. The Cuban embassy in New Delhi, India, has categorically refuted charges that Cuban soldiers had been captured in Xaba province during the recent confrontation with Katangan troops. The claim was made by Zaire dictator Mobutu Seseko and was widely circulated in the imperialist U.S. and her lackeys' Western press. The government of Cuba reaffirms that these accusations are an outright shameless fabrication and summons Mobutu to his promise of presenting the supposed Cuban prisoners in his custody to the press representatives of the entire world, which he has declined to do because he has no Cubans. It's just another Western lie. No matter how sophisticated the farce to deceive public opinion and justify NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, intervention of its imperialist nature in Africa could be, the deceivers will be exposed and the truth finally will prevail inexorably, the Cuba statement underlined. Luxembourg. 8 of the 9 communist parties in the European Economic Community have decided to take part in elections to the Common Market Assembly to be held next year. They are doing so, allegedly, in the interest of workers and the progressive movement. Most of the communist parties of Europe are in the Euro-communist movement. However, the one dissenting party strongly supporting the Soviet Union, the Irish Communist Party, called for a complete boycott of the elections and said it was farcical to believe in the systems, the electoral systems, under the European capitalist dominion. The decision of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to supply India with 7.6 tons of enriched uranium for the Tarapur, T-A-R-A-P-U-R, atomic power plant, with the rider that no nuclear fuel would be sent to India after September 10, 1979, when the 18-month grace period stipulated in the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Act, that is, non-spreading of nuclear weapons, of 1978 would be over, is a sign of the U.S. imperialist administration's still tough attitude. India opposes full-scope scrutiny of all its nuclear projects and will not sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which it considers a discriminatory obstacle to peaceful development of relations between USA and India and in her India's development of her own nuclear energy. It appears that even the Desai government in New Delhi is moving back into a pro-Soviet position. Other news of the day. There is quite a renter strike in California due to the passage of Proposition 13 that has practically eliminated property taxes for the wealthy. But landlords continue to raise rents. Mass demonstrations of renters and rent protests are taking place. Governor Brown, careful, sellout, liberal, met with 1,000 landlords and urged them in almost begging tones to not raise their rents voluntarily. So, we shall see. It's always the appetite of the landlord class to want everything, no taxes, and then raise rents on top of it. And of course, the small landowner is in contradiction with a large landowner because the middle class is becoming more and more extinct in capitalism. That's one of the fatalities and tragedies of capitalism. So those who have small dwellings, small rentals, they end up in a struggle with the renters, and a conflict emerges between segments of really the working class when they ought to be directed to the ruling class. No dissent was noted in Senate, U.S. Senate, in a 68-0 vote for tripling the amount of food for the nutritionally handicapped after news had been brought to light that handicapped people in institutions were in virtual state of starvation and in various foster homes throughout the Union. Army General, 64-year-old Brigadier General, in charge of the army in Spain, a fascist, and there's a growing wave of fascism, as you know, in Spain and in England. As you are very much aware, England is abounding with fascist moves to such a degree that people are not even safe. Blacks and people of color, Indians, Asians, have had to block and barricade themselves off in East London and form their own vigilantes in order to be able to protect themselves. Well, the anti-fascist 1st of October movement in Spain has struck back. They assassinated the general and his top colonel aide in Spain. There is possibility that martial law will be established. Bolivia's president, Banzer, resigned to avoid civil war. Bolivia is almost on the verge of civil war. So Che's sacrifice in 1964, apparently lost to history for the moment, may be taking seed, as the socialist and communist coalition is so strong that the right-wing general, though there's a military dictatorship, was forced to resign, turned his presidency over to the military, which was put temporarily in the hands of an Air Force general, Parida, who is more moderate. The elections are still going to take place, according to the Bolivian government, and it appears that the Bolivians will not be satisfied with anything short of full, free elections. Continue with the news. Many suburban cities are having to ration water in the United States in an outbreak heat wave unprecedented in U.S. history. It appears that the ecology is totally out of command, it seems, out of control. President Sadat states that he will react to the belligerence of Prime Minister Begin. There is now a concerted world effort, even inside Israel, calling for the dismissal of Prime Minister Menachem Begin, who has been talking mentally erratic and is physically not in very good health either. He said that before, you know, Begin, the neo-fascist Prime Minister of Israel, said that before he would relinquish any of the conquered territory, that he would go down in the dust of war. Italian boxer, one of the world's most famous heavyweights, Iacopucci is by name, had been struck a heavy blow. He collapsed, then later regained consciousness, went out to sit at a restaurant table, then he went unconscious again. He has permanent brain damage and is considered clinically dead. They are now debating in Italy as to whether his kidneys, as according to his wishes, will be donated to someone, because he will remain a vegetable the rest of his life from just one blow. I would advise you to be very careful, take all sorts of safety precautions, and be very accident conscious. That's what so often happens. We have had so many head injuries, people falling on their head, struck with booms, all sorts of things, people laying in coma that should have never come out. Just miraculous. And we should be grateful, but we must be much more careful. This young boxer will be a vegetable, nothing but a vegetable, if they let him live. And there's now debate, because it's difficult by Italian law, to cease emergency medical life-sustaining functions. But he's dead. There's no way he could possibly recover. Perhaps the most important news is that the Arab League, in an emergency meeting demanded by Kuwait, one of the oil-rich nations, has decided that the American dollar should not be continued to be used to govern oil prices, but rather a range of currency bases. It is even hard to begin to predict the effect this will have on the capitalist world economy. Carter had hoped by agreeing to import less oil and restricting consumer use of oil and gasoline, even at the point of risking people freezing in the winters, that the dollar would continue to be the standard for oil. But the oil countries have lost faith after the dollar has plummeted to an all-time low on yesterday's market. Lower House of Spain has confirmed measures that will bring about martial law after the assassination by the Red Brigade, the Red Army, of these two fascists. The fascist brigadier general, 64-year-old head of the army, and his chief lieutenant. U.S. Congress is urged to increase sanctions against the Rhodesian government. It appears that Uncle Tom's sellout, Bishop Muzorewa, has not achieved his goal. In a mass of protest flooding in from various sectors of the black community and around the world, it seems that the Uncle Tom will not achieve his purpose, at least in this session of Congress. One member of Congress said the pressure was immense. They need Nigerian oil, and Nigeria is raising all kinds of hell about any attempt to recognize the Ian Smith white regime in Rhodesia. Capitalism is on its way out, my friends, on its way out. But it can't do what it wants to do, even though it has no resistance on the part of the public. And its major emphasis, it said, was not even domestic blacks protesting, but nations like Nigeria and even other conservative African nations. U.S. needs their minerals. They're going to have to deal with them. They can't tell them who to sell to now and what price to sell for. So Bishop Muzorewa didn't get what he wanted. He wanted the ban lifted on the shipment and sale of arms to Rhodesia, but it looks like there's going to be even more sanctions the way the news is talking. Our final commentary for the day will be about Great Britain, England, or the United Kingdom. For it is there that was considered to be one of the white nations that had achieved racial integration and freedom from bias. But now black, Indian, and Asian sectors of the community are having to block themselves off. Their passports are being threatened to be revoked. Immigration is being stopped. And even under the new government that seems to be coming into power in the fall, the conservative government under a bigot by the name of Margaret Thatcher, they may be expatriated, uprooted from their homes in England, and sent back to countries where they supposedly came from. What is Great Britain? An island off the northwest coast of Europe, consisting of England, Scotland, and Wales. Also the Channel Islands in the south, the Orkney and Shetland Islands in the north, and the Isle of Man in the west. That's what constitutes Great Britain. England is only just one part of Great Britain. How was it created? Originally inhabited by the Celts, C-E-L-T-S, Britain was invaded by the Romans in 55 years before Christ. If he ever walked on earth, it was 55 years before it, and eventually made a Roman province. When the Romans withdrew in 442 A.D. after the death of Jesus Christ, the island was besieged by various invaders and settlers, including the Jutes, J-U-T-E-S, the Saxons, S-A-X-O-N-S, and the Angels, A-N-G-L-E-S, whose gods, Twi, T-W-I, Woden, W-O-D-E-N, and Thunor, T-H-U-N-O-R, and Frigg, F-R-I-G-G, have survived to this day as Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Christians are always talking about their being against heathenism. Well, there you have. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are named after their heathen gods. 442 A.D. compared to presently, we are in the year 1978. That means we're 1978 years after the death of Jesus. So that was, you see, about 1,500 years ago when England, Great Britain, worshipped these heathen gods. In 1066, after the death of Jesus, England succumbed, fell to the Norman conquest, and thereafter the British stopped being invaded and began invading. The independent Kingdom of Wales was conquered in 1282, and fighting between England and Scotland was settled in 1707 when the two nations united to form Great Britain. Be prepared for a written test now. Be prepared for a written test. What is the size of England? 88,764 square miles. Almost exactly the size of our own beautiful, beloved Guyana of 83,000 square miles. Whereas Guyana has rich, fertile farmland and only 700,000 population, England has crowded Great Britain on those islands 56 million, including North Ireland. Of the population of 56 million, English constitute 81.5%, Scottish 9.6%, Irish 2.4%, Welsh, that's the Joneses, to give you an idea of some that come from Wales, is 1.9%. Ulster is 1.8%, other is 2.8%. 50% of Great Britain, or the United Kingdom, or what some people call England, which only really refers to one island, is the Church of England. 50% of the population belong to the Episcopalian or the Anglican Church, or what is known as the Church of England. 10.9% are Roman Catholic, 2.7% are Muslim, with the influx in recent years of African and Indian immigrants. 2.2% Church of Scotland, 1.2% are Methodist. It was the home place and the founding birthplace of Methodism under John Wesley, but often, as is so often the case, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own country. He has to go someplace else to be accepted. John Wesley went to USA and made his faith acceptable there, but it was never really brought to much acceptance there. In fact, he was stoned and had to be out on cemeteries preaching on tombstones because he was quite a social activist. 8%, 0.8% are Jewish, a small Jewish population which is coming under strong feeling these days as a new wave of anti-Semitism is increasing in England. 0.5% are Baptist, 0.3% are Congregationalist, 33.4% no religion at all, atheist or agnostics. Who rules? Great Britain is a constitutional monarchy. The king and queen, presently a queen, or the crown, rules only symbolically, while the power lies in Parliament and the cabinet headed by the Prime Minister, who is Callaghan now, who's being forced into a right-wing posture by the neo-fascist tactics of his opposition, the Conservatives. Who really rules? USA and British multinational monopoly corporations exert great influence on the government, even admitted by U.S. Almanac. For example, in spite of protests at home and abroad, Britain sold aircraft and arms to the racist apartheid regime of the Union of South Africa to protect it from communism. Obviously one of those pet slogans. It's all right to put blacks in concentration camps if you can use those holy words, protected from communism. Obviously the arms are to be used to protect the white minority from the black majority having equal and fair representation. USA monopoly capitalist corporations like Ford and Esso, ESSO Europe, receive great privileges such as tax exemptions. Yes, yes. They're the criminals. They don't have to pay taxes while the poor are taxed to death. USA citizens, Americans working for American institutions, including American schools, are tax exempt for the first 2 years. If they leave England at the end of 2 years, they have lived tax-free both in England and in the USA. Special privilege. Polls indicate that only 10% of the people feel the government is the real power. 66% think it is the monopoly capitalist. However, a wide gap usually exists between union leaders and the workers. The remaining group, some 24%, think unions really run the nation. But again, an apathy has been created in Great Britain, and a despair, and due to the economic distress, joblessness, high cost of living, the system, like USA is doing, is whipped up racism. So people will be diverted, fighting each other, rather than the system. The English national character is dualistic. One aspect is conservative, the other extroverted. The pub is a fine example of the conservative aspect of English character. The pub, unlike the bar, liquor bars in the USA, is a focal point for the locals. One goes to the pub for the same reason one used to go to church. For fellowship. There is nothing flashy or plastic about most pubs. Many look like one's living room, full of just soft chairs, a fireplace, and bright lights. The pubs keep respectable hours, open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday nights, they stay open until 11 p.m. There are no all-night or 3 a.m. public bars. When the pubs close, everyone goes home. That's kept down crime to some degree in England compared to USA. The pub represents pleasure with control and in good taste. This control is exemplified in English humor. Most Americans find nothing funny in English comedy shows, since English humor is word-oriented, while American humor is more action-oriented. The same control that is found in English pubs and humor is also found in the English pace of living.